Praise the Lord. I know you didn't miss anything. Sister Watson, you'd love to see me dance, wouldn't you? For the Lord. Yeah. Pardon?
I said that I would love to too.
Don't tempt me. Please open in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 4. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to teach. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do. I have felt a very unusual strong presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 4. Yesterday at the funeral, Brother Jim Haynes used the word experience 3 times. A gentleman also mentioned about experience. Acts chapter 4. If there has been a message that I have continually come back to and tried to say it in 100 ways, it would be today. Acts chapter 4. We'll pick up at verse 27. This is the early church. For a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And here, listen to the heartbeat of the early church. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They were being persecuted. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness we may speak thy word. Now notice what also they were praying for. How many know we need boldness to speak his word? But they had another prayer request. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Here's the early church praying for 2 things. We need boldness to proclaim his word, and we need the miraculous and the supernatural to follow with signs and wonders, and stretch forth your hand to heal. And we want the source of that miraculous power to be done by Jesus Christ. Now that's their prayer, and God honored that prayer. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, this is what they all were praying, and may our church always have that prayer. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. A miracle did take place. After that prayer, God shook the building as a sign. It doesn't mean they were shaken up emotionally. God put his hand of approval on that prayer. Said, yes, I want the church to speak with boldness, the word of God, but it also needs manifestations, however he chooses in his wisdom to appropriate them into our life. I've noticed that Brother Jim, yesterday, when he was speaking and sharing scriptures, there was a... How would I say it? There was a listening in the audience. But when Brother Jim began to speak of an experience and a story, the intensity of the listening picked up. I've always noticed that in preaching. If I'm preaching the word, and this is no put down on the word, we need to speak it in boldness. But I've noticed this for 40 years. If I'm preaching the word, explaining passages or explaining teaching, there is a listening in the audience I see. But then let me tell of a story that confirms the word of something that happened that you knew was God, the listening always picks up. I've always observed that. In the Old Testament, there's two things today that are necessary in the church. The word to be preached, to be ministered in many, many ways, but also the supernatural to happen in your life, to where that's God. I see God in my life working. I see a prayer answered, or that was the Lord. And when that happens in your life, you are required to share it, because not only does faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God, faith comes also by these experiences. Paul the apostle got faith not because of the word of God. He knew the word of God, but he didn't know it correctly. It took an experience for Paul to be knocked down and for faith to come to Paul. We have said over and over, and rightfully so, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. I totally agree with that. But faith also comes with experience when they're from God. And without that experience from God, the church suffers. And we are not as healthy and strong as we could be. In the Old Testament, remember, they had not yet put together all of the Bible. The canon didn't get complete until even after Jesus, when they got all the books together, all 66 of them. But this book is full of experiences, stories. Out of those stories, how God moved, we get our doctrines. We get our teachings. In the Bible, when Noah, let me say is the first, when Noah did what God told him to do, and this happened, he sees this happening. When it got done, the Bible says that Noah built an altar out of stones. And the purpose that God wanted him to build this altar out of stones was the stones represented the experience, the miraculous. So that in the future, Ham and Shep and his children, when they would come by, they would see this altar. What's this altar about? Let me tell you about something God did. The same is true with Abraham. Abraham, when God visited him and he had an experience with the Lord, he built an altar and put stones down. So the same thing. So when anybody ever came by and they saw these pile of stones, what are these stones about? Oh, I'm glad you asked. And they'd tell the story. Isaac, you read in Isaac, when God visited him, and he has this experience, this visitation of God. Afterwards, he builds an altar, piles stones up. Same with Jacob. When Jacob slept and he used a rock for a pillow, boy, that'd be miserable. But a rock for a pillow, afterwards, after this experience, this visitation, God has him build an altar with the stones. So you've got throughout the land many altars. It happened to Jacob, and it also happened unto Moses. When Moses crossed the Red Sea, God told Moses, out of that sea bed, you have each of the tribes of the elders grab a rock, carry that rock on the other side of the sea, make an altar. And he says, Moses, here's why I want me to do that. So that in the future, when people come by and they see these stones and they say, what meaneth this? You tell them, an experience, a miracle happened. It happened not only to Moses, it happened unto Joshua. When Joshua and the muddy river Jordan was backed up, God told Joshua, go get some stones out of that dry bed of the river and get on the other side, make an altar. Do you get the picture? God wants these experiences to be put down in a way, in a practical way, so that when people going through say, what are these stones all about? Why are they, what's that all about? Oh, God did something special. It was an experience. Now, this is no put down on the Word of God. It was never to say, when they see the stones, tell them what the Word of God says. It was tell them what the experience was. We have plenty of other places that tell us that we're to promote the Word. But also, I want us to see, we are instructed over and over in the history of the church and God's people to tell the experiences that you've had in the Lord. And the Bible basically is full of experiences. And I've noticed, maybe you've heard it, but I will hear men on the radio. I will hear other ministers. And whenever they begin to talk about experiences, they give it a negative spin. And they well, you know, you got to be careful on these experiences. Donnie, I'm going to go back to this. They say you've got to be, excuse me. Testing. They will say you need to be careful with these experiences. And there are so many out there that they put down experiences. And they say, well, you know, we can't build our Christian life on these things. We've got to build it on the Word of God. That is so untrue. That is so untrue. And they shouldn't be in competition. They should be complementing each other. And they are real. But I've noticed that there are so many that they have more energy and passion to tell you why you should be leery of people's experiences, but they seldom have passion to talk about experiences that are real. I often wonder, well, maybe you don't have any, and that's why you're not talking about them. And we usually don't put down something we have, but then I'll hear them maybe 3 months later on the radio, and then I'll hear them talk about their own experience. And like, oh, I see. So your experience is valid. But everybody else's, you give it a question mark. And God gives experiences. And some experiences that God gives are not a result of the person seeking God. There's two kinds. There's an experience that God just sovereignly comes down and visits the person. When God came to Abraham, God came to Noah, God came to Jacob, God came to Isaac, these ones that I mentioned, they were just going along. Same with the Apostle Paul. He's just going along doing what he thought was right, and God gives the experience. We don't control that kind of experience. Neither do we the other. But the other kind of experience is now that you've had an experience with God, it's like, whoa, man, he's real. Now God wants you. He gave that experience to let you know he's real. And now he wants intimacy out of your life. He wants you to get to know him better. He wants you to seek him. He wants you to get into the word and pray. He wants you to cry out, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when you do that, you'll have more experiences. And now that you've come to know God, as you come to seek this God that you know, you will have experiences. And God will begin to make himself real in your life. Whenever, if you don't know me by now, I'll always ask you, or often, what's God been doing in your life? I want to hear about your experiences. I want to hear about how God has been making himself real to you. And he can do it in a million ways. But I'm interested in your experiences. I'm interested in because it tells me how much you're really seeking the Lord. It has a way of opening up a window into your life. Now, everybody's experiences are different. I'm aware of that. But there are, first I want to say, they're the kind that God just does it. And then there are those, it's because you've been seeking him. And you want to know his will. And you want to know him. And you want to grow closer to him. And he has hundreds of ways that he now begins to work in your life. And you, wow, that was the Lord. And God did this. I'm not advocating seeking experiences. So don't misquote me. I'm advocating seeking the Lord. But when you do, and if you've been born again, sometimes people don't have them because you're not born again and you're not really totally surrendered. But if you do and you're born again and his spirit is in you, seek him with all thy heart. It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So that means as you seek him, I don't know where I'm supposed to go, what I'm supposed to do, but I know I'm supposed to acknowledge him in everything I do. Everything I do, I bring God into the equation. Are you bringing God into the equation of everything you do? Everything you do. You say, I'll be called a spiritual nut. I'll brag on God big time if you're called a spiritual nut, if that be the result of it. Yes, and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm bringing you into this picture. I need you, Lord, help me with this. And oh, Lord, guide me and direct me. And then it says he will direct thy path. Then when the path is directed, you could say, wow, look how the Lord did that. He directed my path. I didn't figure this out. God did this. That's an experience. So there are many, many, many kinds. I'm not limiting it to just one thing. But I want you to see the church. When the church gathered after they were persecuted, they knew they had to have two things. Because here's what happens. If you're not seeking him intimately, and if you're not bringing God into the equation in every part of your life, and you're continually trying to stay clean and right before the Lord, and you're seeking him, experiences come. They do. Here's why boredom sets in. Here's why boredom sets into Christians. And they get bored with church. And they get bored. Well, you know why? It's because you're not getting intimate. You get intimate with God, you'll see God start working. And you'll recognize, and you'll come to church and say, you know, I was talking to God about that, and man, the Lord, he used the speaker to say something, exactly what I was thinking. And you had an experience. And I've watched people get bored in church. lose the desire to go. It's because your intimacy isn't kept up. Because out of that intimacy will birth experiences. And God was pleased with this prayer that they prayed, Lord, we need your word. We need to preach it boldly. And God, we also need signs and wonders to follow and stretch forth your hand that healings can come. How many know when Brother Skip Kincaid comes, nobody's ever bored? It's his experiences. He's got good Bible. He's a head of a Bible college. It's his experiences. You say, well, would God do that for me? Maybe not in the same way, but you'll have them. You'll have them. He will, in him we live and move and have our being. Now, I do agree, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. But faith also comes by experiences when they're of God. I've watched the level of a church faith rise up when the word of knowledge kicks in. When an experience that is from God, and you know it's from God, there's a sense God is here. Faith kicks in. And where do you think Paul got his faith? He got it from an experience. And this is no put down on the word of God. But there is that emphasis that says, well, you know, we don't walk by feeling. I'm not talking about walking by feeling. Well, you know, we walk by faith. Listen, you idiot. We've got to have these experiences. We've got to have God operating in people's lives or boredom sets in. I believe many people are bored simply because they haven't opened the door up for God to make himself real to you in such an incredible way. And so how did it happen? It happened by prayer. They prayed. I want to ask you about your prayer life. Do you have a prayer life? Because the experience is birthed out of the prayer life. If you don't have a prayer life, then don't expect the experiences. If you don't have the intimacy that you're seeking, then don't expect the experiences. But they're real. They're very real. Said when they prayed. And what does it say in 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll give them an experience. Then will I hear from heaven and he'll start doing supernatural things, which is what they were needed. Jesus said in John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's relationship. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I'm going to love him, and I will manifest myself. That manifest is an experience. That's not just you thinking about the Word of God, and I think about it all the time. A manifest is from that world to this world. How he chooses to manifest himself is up to him, but he will do it. And I can tell a real fired up Christian from one that's not. And you know, always the difference is experiences. I guarantee it. He's seeing God. Whoa, man, what's God going to do next? Now, do I have dry seasons where I go through and I don't see nothing? Sure, I do. But that's when I walk by the stone pile and I remember what God did. And it helps me to continually just keep moving ahead. And then, in fact, you know, prayer meeting. Last Thursday, I got up from prayer. And I, just before I got up, I saw a black horse. And I walked over to Sister Nichols, who was nodding her head yes to verify it. I said, there's going to be a funeral. Somebody's going to die. And sure enough, about 2 days later, I heard of there'll be a funeral. Does God always do that? Oh, yeah, every day. No. But I've been experiencing them. And you say, well, you're pastor. Even when I wasn't pastor, I was seeing God in experiences. I remember when I was a brand new Christian. In fact, let me say this. It was an experience that really turned me around. And the experience was receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know much of the Bible. I was brand new. And I'd heard about it. But it was when that night, when the Holy Ghost came on me, and something came down in. I've told you 100 times. I felt something down in here. And I ended up speaking in tongues, yes, but it wasn't the tongues that amazed me. But it was, boy, something came in and, whoa, what was that? Now, does everybody have that? I'm not saying they do, but it was an experience. In fact, it was birthed out of intimacy. Because as I was seeking the Lord down there at the altar, and I was kind of self-conscious, and I wasn't used to raising the hands and talking out loud, I remember an experience. A strong impression came and said, why don't you just love me? So I lift my hands and I said, I love you. And the next thing I know, it happened. I'm not given a formula, but I am in this sense, get intimate with God. Love him with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And you watch God work in your life. And watch the supernatural begin to take place. Because Jesus loves experiences. He said, I only do that which I see my Father do. So he'd see it. And in fact, when Jesus said to Peter, who do men say that I am? Peter said, well, some say you're lies, some say this, some say that. Well, who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus got excited because Peter just had an experience. And Jesus' words verify that. He said, blessed art thou, Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood didn't reveal unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. You just had an experience. You just had a revelation. Peter thought, yeah, I'm bad. Listen, nothing will make you feel like 10 foot tall than to have an experience with God. And there are thousands of them. They're as different as night and day. But it's something that you know that God did. Now, for me to get words on people is different than for me to get words for myself. My own self, they don't come as easy. With other people, it's different. But the experiences of me, I remember I was in my basement years ago. I've told this, but I believe that we as a church, and when you're in your private life, and with your children, and with your grandchildren, and with your friends, you should be talking about God working in your life. And say, you know what, I think the Lord's been doing this, and really, yeah, and doing this. You'll say, I'll be a fanatic. I'll jump up and down if you get accused of being a fanatic. We're supposed to be fanatic. Yes, we're supposed to use wisdom. I'm not talking about the stupid stuff. I was in my basement years ago praying when I remember I felt an impression that I was to speak on God's judgment for Sunday. Now, that I knew I was going to be ripping their hide off of them. And my wife will testify, I it's hard for me to preach hard. I'll do it. But it's not easy. It's not comfortable for me. And I knew I was going to preach on God's judgment. And it gets pretty serious. So I was in my basement thinking, okay, Lord, I think you're talking to me. And as I was praying, I hear this tick, tick, tick. But they weren't that close together. They were a little bit further apart. And I thought, what's that ticking sound? Now, the family's upstairs. They're asleep. This is between my prayer time, 12 to 2. Tick. So I thought, where's that ticking sound coming from? So I go throughout the basement, not in this room, and I'd wait. Tick. Where are you coming from? And I finally found the smoke alarm on the shelf. And tick. There you are. And now, this is how my little brain works, or I should say big brain, but my little brain works says, Dennis, you're supposed to be down here praying, and you're down here messing around. Now, it's your ADD is kicked in. Get in there and start praying. So I go back to pray, and then I hear that tick. You're interrupted me. And so I went and got a pillow. I put a pillow on top of this thing. And I'm praying, I went tick. You say, well, you really weren't into your prayer. Follow me. That may be true. But then I thought, Lord, I wonder how far apart those ticks are. So I take my watch and I count them. They're about 19 to 20 seconds apart. And then I rebuke myself again. Your ADD kicked in again. Get back to prayer. So I'm praying. Well, it's about time now. Tick. I thought, I'm not getting anywhere. I am going to turn on the radio where it's already preset to a Christian music station out of Portland, KIHR. No, that was Hood River. So I turn it on, and just as I turn it on, it's a song about judgment's coming, judgment's coming. How many let God talk to you this way? And you're always, is this God? Is this not God? And is this God? You're going to have to go through that process, trust me. And I'm thinking, that's a confirmation I'm to preach on judgment. I think. I'm not totally convinced yet. Gideon had to fleece God twice. Abraham had to ask God 4 or 5 times about Sodom and Gomorrah. So sometimes we need a little more convincing. But he knows our heart. And as soon as the song ended, here this commercial comes on. And it says, and I've never heard it before, smoke alarms, when they start to go bad, will give off a ticking sound. Those ticking sounds are approximately 20 seconds apart. I knew it was God. That wasn't a coincidence. And it said, in order to stop the ticking sound, it is a warning. It's a warning that the battery is going bad. Which also confirmed to me a message. God will give warnings before judgment. So I'm starting to have more confidence in my message. But I'm also aware that God was working in me. And I wasn't aware of it. And if we could just be sensitive with wisdom, you'll find God talking to you and leading you and guiding you. An experience can be Him giving you peace. An experience can be Him giving you a peace that passes all understanding. An experience can be a feeling by the Holy Spirit that is peace. An experience can be an awareness, a discerning. But the experiences, this thing is all about the stories of God working. And we write about them. And then somehow we ended up just talking about the letter. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But it's like the old proverb used to say, if it's all word, you'll dry up. If it's all spirit, you'll blow up. If you have both, you'll grow up. And God give us the hunger for both of them. Because the early God knew we need to have them. And they're real. I could go on all day about experiences. Because I'm experiencing them. I never know when. There are some that I have no control over. But there are some that come of a result of me seeking Him and the intimacy. In order for John to know what he preaches, God's got to give him something to confirm it. Same with Sister Nichols. She's talking about, I got a confirmation. These are experiences. And you say, well, we'll have a bunch of nuts. No, we won't. It produces you to grow up. But it has to be birthed out of the intimacy. When I was a brand new convert, right after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I would take the guys and we'd go swimming at this pool that I was in charge of and got to do the maintenance, etc. We got there one night, and I remember, and they all remember to this day. In fact, how many remember when Brother Charlie was here, when we had that speaker, Brother Jenkins, and that spot on Charlie's leg? And he asked him to pull up his pant leg, saw the spot, had him sit down, came back to him 2 minutes later, and the spot's gone. Did that happen? Yes. What was it? It's a wonder. I'm going down the road wondering what in the world happened. Wonders. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to figure it out. Some of the things in the Bible are really hard to understand. spitting in dirt and putting in his eye to heal him. How many glad we don't get a formula out of that one? I get to the pool. I wear contacts. There's a shelf in the middle of this big office, and then behind it is the pool. I open the metal cabinet. I take out a little box. They're watching me. I take my contact out. I got little hard ones. Put them in. Put the lid on. Put it in the cabinet. Let's go. We went swimming. After we got done swimming, we come back. They're getting dressed. Boy, they sure look different today than they did back then. And I take the box out, and there's only one contact. I said to him, hey, guys, I only got one contact. What happened to it? He said, I don't know. I put the one contact in. We spent the next 20 minutes looking for my contact. If it was their contact, they'd have looked longer, but it wasn't. So they said, we can't find it. So we're going to go. We've looked everywhere, and we did. We looked everywhere. We go back. They're out in the car waiting. I'm getting ready to shut the lights off. Pull the thing down, it locks it. And this will help me happen. I said, Lord, where did that thing go? How many have ever prayed to ask God to help you find something? How many know at times when you found it, it was God? How many have ever not found it? Sure, it throws us off. But don't mean God's not there involved. He has a plan and a purpose. He may say, next time remember better. I don't know what. But I remember, I was about to hit the lights when I said, man, Lord, where'd that go? People, my finger pops out. Now, I know you think I'm weird on you. I'm telling the truth. As my finger pops out, I'm thinking, why'd my finger feels weird? At the end of my finger is the contact on the shelf. I have gone through this 1,000 ways trying to figure out what happened. All I know is I believe it was God. I'm not saying what he did, how he did it, but there's no doubt in my mind. That's an experience. I had ammunition to witness for a week. You see, some of our witnessing, we're a little shy because we don't have good ammunition. You get a good experience, you can tell people, guess what God did? Guess what God did? That's what the early church did. How do you think they had revivals? They didn't get them by just preaching the word. They had revivals by incredible miracles and experiences. I know that God is the one that gives them. But there's always that our part, his part. Our part is to have intimacy with him. When I reach out to the Lord and sometimes I get weepy and I like that weepy feeling. And sometimes I don't. But in it all, I'm seeking God. Oh God. Oh God. Touch my grandchild. Touch my family. Touch the church. And then I'll wait. I want to recommend a book to you. It's not a doctrinal book. The title of the book is Experiencing God. I left it up in my office. But this man encourages for you to experience God. And we're not seeking the manifestation. We're seeking intimacy. And out of the intimacy comes the experiences. You've heard tons of my stories where sometimes I get embarrassed to tell them again because I think they'll be bored, but then there's always someone new who hadn't heard it. But I could go on and on and on and on and on and on. But you need to be experiencing God. You really do. And these knuckleheads on the radio that poo-poo them, don't listen to them. They're real. This church has been one that has seen the supernatural from its birth. And faith always rises. I remember, I could go on and on, but they're real. And you can have them. But you got to get to seeking God. You got to get God in your thoughts. You got to make sure you're living right. And they're all different. They're all different. But I felt impressed to do something today. Elisha who is having many experiences, had a servant. And this servant looked up and the hills around him, he saw many of the soldiers of the enemy. And he said, "Alas, master!" And he was scared, rightfully so. And Elisha prayed a prayer. He knew he needed an experience. He knew he needed to see what Elisha saw, that you can only see by the Spirit of God. And he said, "Lord, I'm going to pray his eyes be opened." He's been working with a man of God. And I'm sure that he's watched this. And he prayed. His eyes were opened and he saw him. If you're here today, first of all, I want to ask you, are you first a Christian? Have you had an experience in Christ to where you've asked him in and your life was changed? That's an experience. We've turned it into an intellectual concept. No, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. What's new? Your eyes are opened. You see God. Your awareness of God. You can't have them unless you first come to Christ. So I want to make that emphasis first. But if you have come to Christ, and you fight boredom, I want to encourage you. There's so much more that you can experience if you'll seek him. If you'll draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Doesn't mean visibly, but you're going to see the manifestations of God. Faith cometh by hearing, yes, the word of God. But faith also comes when people experience the things that are from God. Am I aware there's dumb experiences? Sure. Just as much as I'm aware of these guys that say they're not real, I'm aware that they have dumb doctrines that are not real. But folks, may we be a church that prays. We preach his word with all boldness. And that, Lord, grant unto us that you would stretch forth your hand and heal, and with signs and wonders. And they prayed, and God was pleased with that prayer. Oh, they're real. They are real. How many have had an experience with God since you've been saved? You can say, "Man, I knew this was God. This was God." How many would like to have your eyes opened and you're willing to really seek the Lord a little more? Raise your hand and stand. If you're really sincere and you want more of God, and I want to explain it. It comes out of the intimacy. But it will cause, I don't know which comes first, the experience or the intimacy. But the intimacy, my favorite time of the day is my prayer time. My wife, she said, "What are you doing?" I was laying down at 9 o'clock, take a nap. She said, "It's 9 o'clock. I know lately when I've been praying, I've been half asleep and I feel guilty. I want to be more awake. So I'm going to take me a little nap so I can be more refreshed." I had a good nap. It was an anointed nap. And I woke up. And good, now I can give him more of my attention. And I love going to prayer and beginning to seek the Lord. And would you play something? And I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. I'm no Elisha, but I felt impressed to pray for you that you're out of your intimacy. And I just want to give you a clue. Bring God into everything you do. Bring God into everything you do. Talk to him every moment you can. You don't have to do it verbally. If you can, do it. But, oh, Lord, show me yourself. Lord, it's not in me. I need your help. I need your strength. Show me. Talk to me. Give me a sign. Give me this. And then sometimes he'll give you a sign. You wonder if it's him. And, Lord, confirm it. Help me. He can give you peace. He can give you another sign. He can give you this. But he has a way of putting fire in your belly. Heavenly Father, I stretch forth my hand out of obedience. I am nothing. I am thy servant. But Lord, everyone that has stood, that desires more of you, Lord, yes, we need more of the word. But sometimes, Lord, we can get in a rut of just thinking we need more information. And Lord, in no way is this a put down on that. But oh God, what we also need is for you to manifest yourself into each life so they can see you working in them. How you choose to do that, Lord, you are a God of creation. You can do it a million ways. But I pray for each one. I pray, Lord, that you give them a commitment for prayer and to begin to seek you and begin to look for God working in their life. And when they do, I command them and instruct them this day that you share it with someone else and that you share it in the church and you bring your experience of how you believe God has done something. Doesn't have to be spectacular, just has to be real. And if it's real, it is spectacular. But let your hunger reach out. Let your hunger reach out and watch God work. Lord, I pray for them. Open their eyes that they may see your wondrous works. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. The altars are open. I invite you to find a place to pray and talk to God. Bring him into every part of your life and watch him work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.